Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us on the program here today. Great to have you along for the conversation as we talk issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Of course, happy to be here with you as well. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. On the way here on today's show, we'll have the April episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association coming up here at Segment 2. We're talking sustainable aviation fuel with Lane Howard, the Director of Market Development for the Missouri Corn Growers, and also John Delmonte, Vice President of the Michigan Corn Growers Association, joining us here today on AOA. Coming up in Segment 3, we are going to talk markets, especially the livestock markets, considering all the issues surrounding HPAI and dairy cattle and more. Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services is going to join us. And speaking of HPAI and dairy cattle, we're going to get an update from Texas with Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller joining us in Segment 4 today. Let's kick things off, though. Joining us now here on the program, we have with us back on AOA, Todd Neely, who just recently named environmental editor for DTN and the Progressive Farmer. Todd, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, great. Great to be here, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Todd, we got a lot of ground to cover. I want to start with a brand new story that you have posted on DTNPF.com. We're looking at ag census data and cutting fertilizer use in some of the leading states here across the country. Give us some background and details on this. This is a very fascinating story, Todd.
Yeah, you know, Jesse, we've, you know, the Ag Census has been out for a bit. And so there's quite obviously a lot of data that was released. I mean, you've got many, many tables of data put out from the Ag Census. And so one of the things we decided to look at was, you know, considering all the rises in fertilizer prices in the past several years, we wondered how maybe those things had affected farmers' decisions when it comes to using fertilizer. And so we dug through the census data and we narrowed it down to the top 10 states where from 2017 to the 2022 census, where fertilizer use cuts had been made the most. And so, yeah, we found out a lot of interesting data. You know, we kind of, here at DTN, we collect fertilizer prices on a regular basis as well. And so we kind of took the two of those things and tried to come up with some sort of a look at what's happened. And also in those states where we saw fertilizer use cut, we then looked also at, you know, the adoption of conservation techniques, no-till and the like. And so, yeah, we came up with a top 10 list, and we found that at the top of the list was the state of Texas. Now, you know, you don't see a lot of corn in Texas, and so, you know, when the number of fertilizer applications are cut, and I think they had around 3.5 million acres cut from 2017 to 2022, you know, considering that Texas is a very large state and a very diverse state when it comes to agriculture, and so they did top the list, and you know we had a number of other. What we realized is most of these top 10 states also are in the top 10 when it comes to actual fertilizer applications and the number of acres that are fertilized. And so, not a whole lot of surprises in this, but thought it really paints a really interesting picture of where things have gone.
Definitely. It's very, very interesting. I was reading through it this morning, and you can find it at dtnpf.com. I want to switch gears a little bit, Todd. I mentioned we got a lot of ground to cover. Plenty of news recently on the ethanol front, biofuels front, between EPA's tailpipe emissions and E15 waivers needing to happen and things like that. And I noticed as well that the Renewable Fuels Association's intervening in a EU lawsuit. What exactly is going on there here, Todd?
Well, you know, Jesse, I think as we've seen in the past several years, the ethanol industry has really had to be quite vocal in, you know, making its case about being a low carbon fuel. And so it doesn't end here at the borders of the United States. In the European Union, there is a maritime regulation that's out there that basically puts ethanol and other biofuels on the same carbon footing as fossil fuels. And we know from a lot of the studies, a lot of the work that's been done here in the United States on that, especially with the GREET model and all those things that are looked at, that ethanol and fossil fuels and other biofuels are really not on the same footing. By and large, ethanol cuts emissions by 40 to 50% when it comes to carbon emissions. And so the RFA is involved in the legal dispute there in the EU to kind of make its case that, you know, these decisions made in the EU are very arbitrary and really not following what the current science says. And so, you know, maritime and seaward vessels, you really don't think when you think about biofuels, you really don't think about that aspect. But as we're seeing now, you know, with the airline industry and SAF, there's really a lot of potential applications for biofuels in so many sectors of the transportation industry. And so maritime is back on the list, I guess. And so here we are. Where that case goes, that RFA definitely sees some interest in that.
There is so much going on in terms of biofuels and things to keep our eyes on. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, though, before we run out of time in the segment here, we're watching Prop 12. You recently wrote on this, California pork prices, I think, up some 20% on average since July 1. There's been talk about this EATS Act maybe not having enough bipartisan support to make it through Congress as we look for maybe a national solution. What's the latest on Prop 12 you're hearing, Todd?
Well, you know, Jesse, we've seen at the beginning of the year the implementation, the full implementation of Prop 12. And so I think probably what's gone on in California, since this has already been to the Supreme Court, it really is going to take an act of Congress to maybe, you know, set a national policy when it comes to these issues. There's so many big issues involved in terms of, you know, the markets and all these things. And Prop 12 really does disrupt that in a lot of ways. And I think probably if you're looking forward down the road, maybe the biggest concern is, you know, how many other states are going to address this, come up with laws similar to Prop 12. You know, we see one in Massachusetts that's also facing some legal issues. And so I think that, you know, Prop 12 itself will continue to be implemented. And I think, you know, we're already seeing the effect where pork prices in that state have just skyrocketed. And so how that plays out, I think, is really, really something, you know, going state by state would really be an unfortunate thing for the pork industry. You know, it's difficult. The pork industry is so integrated as it is, and the markets are integrated. And so you hate to see a patchwork of state by state laws. And so that really is the issue going forward, I think, is that, you know, something in Congress probably needs to be addressed on this.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate the time. With that, DTN's Todd Neely. Todd, thanks for joining us, and we will get you back on the show again soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you much.
All right. Coming up next, we were talking SAF a little bit there. We're going to talk more about that with the monthly grind from the National Corn Growers Association on AOA coming up next.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research, funded by the V Foundation, is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. The V Foundation has the skill, the speed, and the strength to achieve victory over cancer. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at v.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Sedex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Sedex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at sedex.com. Well, right now it is time for the April episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, as we're talking sustainable aviation fuel here on the show today. Joining us for the program, we have with us Lane Howard, Director of Market Development for the Missouri Corn Growers Association. Lane, thanks for joining the show today.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
And also joining us as well here on the Monthly Grind, John Delmati with the Michigan Corn Growers Association, their Vice President. John, great to have you back on the Monthly Grind with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
Well, let's start and let's kind of set the stage real quick for anyone who is new to this conversation. I think most folks involved in agriculture know what we're talking about, but for anyone who is not, Lane, can you give us just a quick background on what exactly is SAF?
SAF stands for Sustainable Aviation Fuel. It's a jet fuel that we produce from renewable feedstocks, some sustainable feedstocks, such as corn, and other renewable products. It's nearly identical in chemistry to traditional petro-based jet fuel. So it can be used as a drop-in fuel readily in the market.
Well, and thinking about SAF, why SAF? What exactly are we looking at here? Why is the aviation industry so interested in sustainable aviation fuel? Lane, if you could maybe add to that.
I think as we look back, we've seen the growth of the aviation industry has experienced, so specifically the commercial industry. They've grown in the last 20 years, and they're going to continue to grow in the next 15. And so by 2030, we're looking for 8 billion passengers, and then SAF helps offset those carbon emissions, sometimes up to 80%. And so that's going to be critical for all of those commercial airliners to reach their sustainability goals.
Well, John, what are some things that have happened recently? I know there's been a lot of discussions, a lot of seminars and conferences and more talking about sustainable aviation fuel and its growth. Talk about some of the recent developments surrounding SAF discussions.
Well, as you know, we've had a lot of discussion recently around SAF. I guess maybe first starting with, you know, waiting on the updated GREET model, you know, trying to get the, I guess, sort of the nuts and bolts of what that does in terms of how SAF, you know, we're able to use SAF for lowering their CI score, their carbon intensity score. So there's ongoing discussion about that, what we'd like to see happen there. So that's just kind of a been a waiting game for us. But moreover, I think we've talked about, especially, and I guess I'm going to speak from maybe the corn perspective more so, that corn is a very sustainable, you know, ethanol to jet pathway for SAF. Obviously, as the markets are kind of reflecting here recently, there's an abundance of corn. So we know that we have an abundant feedstock for an ethanol to jet pathway. And so we're having more conversations about what it's going to take from our organizations to make SAF a reality when we have eager buyers like, you know, the commercial airline industry. So in a nutshell, what I would say we're working on is how can we get SAF production ramped up? What does it take to get us there? And so those conversations are not only, you know, with the airlines, but, you know, we're talking to Department of Treasury. We're talking to EPA, Department of Energy, really trying to get everybody on the same page at the same time to create that smooth pathway to SAF.
Well, and I know a lot of those conversations happening around the country, thinking about a recent sustainable aviation fuel conference event in Illinois, where there was a lot of participants from across the Corn Belt. Lane, add some of your thoughts here to what John was talking about, looking at sustainability here and just, you know, the opportunity out there for corn as a feedstock for SAF. Share some thoughts, kind of add to what John was saying, your perspective on how corn could play a role here for SAF.
Yeah, you mentioned, Jesse, that we recently participated in a conference. So John and I were both in the Chicago area at the Illinois SAF conference hosted by the Illinois Manufacturers Association, Illinois Corn. At that conference, we saw a great cross-section of all stakeholders from across the industry. So you had producers, you had feedstock suppliers, you had the airlines, as well as some midstream people who would be critical to the upscale. And from that conference, we kicked it off with Krista Swanson, NCGA's economist, talking about the increase in yield over time for corn production and what that's going to do to position us to be an abundant feedstock. So, you know, as we're seeing, we're already looking at 2.5 billion bushel carryout for corn production. What we need to do is find opportunities for corn to be ground into new products. And so as we see the upscale in SAF, I think that provides a great opportunity for more corn to ethanol and then ethanol to jet to specifically take place in the market.
Well, I know as well that it seems like there is a lot of opportunity here for corn and ethanol to jet, but also we know there are challenges, there are obstacles to make that a reality. So John, Lane, from your perspective, what are some of those obstacles that still lie ahead to make corn-based sustainable aviation fuel a reality? John, do you want to take that first?
Yeah, I think what we have to do is kind of go back in time here a little bit, maybe 20, 25 years, and sort of see where the ethanol industry started out. It took time and technological advancement to make ethanol from where it was a higher priced option compared to petroleum, which is where SAF is today. It is a higher priced alternative to petroleum-based Jet A. But with efficiency and technological improvement, we now see corn-based ethanol oftentimes bring the price of petroleum-based fuels down, especially when we talk about auto fuel. Our belief at this point is that we're going to see the same thing happen in the Jet A world. But what it takes is time and it takes development. And so in order to get this going and to get it off the ground, you're seeing many states go to their state legislatures and ask for tax credits that, you know, can either cover the producer or the user or the blender, some sort of tax credit to help bridge that gap between the cost of petroleum-based Jet A and sustainable aviation fuel. And so that's the direction I would say in the short term that we're looking to head, is to bridge that gap so that we can allow for the technological advancement and efficiency to develop in the SAF space. And I believe that once that happens, we'll see a very similar trend to what we have with ethanol, where it's become a very efficient product to use blending with petroleum-based fuels. It's obviously very clean burning. The huge benefit to SAF, which we don't hear talked about quite as much. Obviously, we talk about the carbon intensity, but petroleum-based Jet A now, you know, is a significant pollutant. When we talk about health concerns for airport employees and that work around it all the time, SAF makes sense from a multitude of reasons, but especially when we talk about employee health, you know, at regional airports. So a lot going on, but it's all to say we've got a springboard at this point, and I think that's really what we're working toward, is how to springboard this industry.
Very true. And Lane, we got about a minute here before we run out of time. Final thoughts from you. Anything you want to add to John's thoughts there to kind of wrap us up here today?
Yeah, I think that John really brought up some key points where we need to get all the policy right. Federal policy he brought up at Treasury, as well as some state policy. Those will help incentivize the SAF producers, no matter who they are, to look at long-term investment and quickly scale up the industry, making SAF abundant, making the market abundant for corn producers. But I think from our standpoint, it's a lot about education, making sure that everyone understands what our corn growers are doing day in and day out to give back to the land, to make sure we're producing an abundant and sustainable crop.
Well, I know folks can learn more online, ncga.com, to stay up to date with ethanol to jet and corn's viability for sustainable aviation fuel. And with that, Lane Howard with Missouri Corn Growers Association and John Delmonte with the Michigan Corn Growers Association, thank you both for joining us on the April episode of the Monthly Grind. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, we are going to take a look at markets and the livestock market specifically with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial on AOA, brought to you by SEDEX. Back after this.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check at markets for the American Ag Network. U.S. corn demand remains stout on both the export and ethanol front. Corn inspections were large again last week, with total shipments now up 33% from a year ago. On Wednesday, the EIA will release their weekly petroleum status report, including ethanol production and stocks last week. It's expected we could see a slight decline in production and a slight build in ethanol inventory. However, so far this year, both export and ethanol demand have exceeded the USDA projections. Word from China is they're encouraging feeders to slow the pace of imports, that in an effort to boost domestic prices for corn ahead of harvest. On the soybean side, Malaysian June palm oil futures soared to another new high on hot weather and supply shortages. That's while spot May hit a 21-month high. The meteoric palm oil rally of late has come despite the move to import more sunflower and soybean oil by number one vegetable oil importer, India. Also supporting bean oil is the spot crude oil rally above $86 per barrel as Middle East tensions rise. With wheat, after some rain chances in the April 9th to 11th period, the Southern Plains wheat areas are expected to face mostly warm and dry conditions. Another 1 to 2 inches of unwanted rain is slated to fall again in France. In wheat tenders, Jordan is reported to have passed on offers for 120,000 metric tons of optional milling wheat, while Japan will be seeking just under 114,000 metric tons of combined U.S., Canadian, and Australian wheat. Tunisia announced a tender of 50,000 metric tons of both durum and soft wheat. For livestock, further strength may be difficult unless boxed beef prices improve. Boxed beef prices were lower Tuesday, with choice down $1.58 and select down $2.80. Hog futures cutouts showed strength with product values up 52 cents. That's markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on Agriculture of America AOA today. Jesse Allen back with you. Today's program brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit cenex.com for more information. All right, now we want to turn our attention to the markets. I'm definitely curious about what's been happening in these livestock markets this week with all the concerns about HPAI and dairy cattle having a pretty big effect on our cattle markets. Hogs have been working higher as well for the most part. A lot to take in here. Joining us now for a conversation, happy to have Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services back with us here on AOA. Dennis, welcome back to the show. Hope all is well with you.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. Appreciate being here.
Well, Dennis, let's start with the cattle market. I feel like that's where a lot of news has been this week. I know this HPAI and dairy cattle having a pretty big psychological effect, it seems, in this market. And here we are Wednesday with both fats and feeders moving a bit lower again after correcting some on Tuesday. So it's kind of this back and forth battle in this cattle market right now. What's your perspective on things, Dennis?
Yeah, it's a market that's I don't even know how to describe it. It's not trading reality. It's trading uncertainty. And the market seems totally convinced that of a major demand scare, which I think is extremely unlikely to develop or to happen. But the market is doing what it's doing, and it's not over yet. The problem is the migration season is really just getting started. From what I understand, it really won't be completed until middle to late May. So cases of this bird flu are going to continue to pop up here and there in poultry flocks, maybe some more in the dairy herd. But there's absolutely no evidence that this will contribute or lead to a major consumer backlash on beef demand.
Well, and to that point, you mentioned kind of the thought there that these cattle markets aren't trading in reality. There's a pretty wide disconnect between the cash markets and the futures as well here with all of this back and forth going on with bird flu and dairy cattle, Dennis, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. We are right at the start of a seasonal demand season. The next 60 days is the absolute best demand time frame that there is in the entire year for beef demand. Packers would love to break the cash market $10, and they can't get it done. They can't even break the cash market slightly lower, at least not so far. So the fundamentals remain overwhelmingly bullish from a supply standpoint, and the exception to that is the heavyweight cattle situation. That will not be resolved anytime soon. So the battle is on between uncertainty and demand fears versus a tight supply situation.
What about from a feed perspective here? I mean, we've seen corn and soybean prices too. Wheat prices have all kind of drifted back lower to where we were really before the USDA reports last Thursday. Any thoughts from you from a feed need perspective here as we work into the early part of April?
Yeah, well, my outlook is a bearish outlook as far as for corn prices. I'll just kind of specifically address the corn market, and my outlook is a negative one. I think the acreage number from last Thursday will increase as we get into the planting season. Widespread and highly beneficial rains are occurring in the Corn Belt, and they're in the forecast. So I think the crop or soil conditions are going to be in vastly improved shape for spring planting, and I am negative corn prices moving forward.
I made this comment to someone yesterday, and I love your perspective on this, thinking about that 90 million acreage number in corn that USDA gave us. It almost feels like the trade, this corn market, is already dismissing that number and thinks that, like you think and like I think, that acreage number is going to end up going higher. It already kind of feels like the trade is acting that way, Dennis.
Yeah, the nice rally that occurred on Thursday was impressive, but it had absolutely no upside follow through. So you certainly do get that perception or feeling that the trade has sort of factored in that number and sort of put it aside right now, with everyone thinking a most likely larger acreage will develop.
We're talking with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services here on AOA. Dennis, I'd love some thoughts from you in this hog market. That has been a different animal here. We're seeing the hog market moving back higher on Wednesday. We got a quarterly hogs and pigs report last Thursday that was fairly neutral, I would say. Your thoughts with this hog market, are we running out of steam here, getting up above 100 in some of these summer contracts here, or what's your thoughts in hogs right now?
Yeah, absolutely not. I think this market is really stretching its legs, and it's got more to go. The cash hog market has been up 88% since January 1st. Wholesale pork values are substantially higher than a year ago. Exports are increasing, and it has nothing to do with China. It has everything to do with Mexico. We continue to ship more and more pork this year than we did last year in impressive fashion. Weights are current. The producers are current. That is, weights are about even with a year ago. And, of course, hog weights start trending lower about this time of the year. The demand for pork has improved. It's shifted. Some say that's because the demand for beef is going down and the demand for pork is rising. Well, I'm not so sure that's the case, because I'm not convinced beef demand is going down. But anyway, pork cutout peaked out at 114 last year. I suspect the pork cutout is headed toward 120 this year. So there's a lot of room yet to go.
It feels like I like the term, we're kind of getting into that BLT seasonal, so to speak, Dennis, that time of the summer here where that pork demand is really good. And, you know, looking at some of these contracts, and to your point here, It feels like that this is a good spot for producers, hog producers, to really look at their marketing, but maybe even, you know, kind of keep that top side open, so to speak, as they're looking at their marketing plan here, Dennis.
Yeah, well, looking longer term, they want to be really sharp here, especially for the winter contracts next winter as this market moves higher in the summer. And the reason for that is if we change administrations in November to the Trump administration, you could very easily be looking at some renewed tariffs or renewed trade wars. And the pork market has a lot to lose if we get into a trade dispute with Mexico.
Very, very true. Very true. Dennis, we got a couple more minutes here before we run out of time in this segment. Any thoughts from you? Any other thoughts in the grain markets, whether it's soybeans or wheat? Or I know this energy market has been on a tear. Gold has been on a tear. Stocks, of course, have been moving higher for the most part here recently. Any other big notes for you that you want folks out there in rural America to think about watching these markets right now?
Well, you pointed on some interesting topics, and we are always focused on China and the Chinese economy. Is it bottoming out? Is it improving? We know for sure that they've been liquidating their hog herd. So you've liquidated the European hog herd. We are liquidating the U.S. hog herd. They are liquidating the Chinese hog herd. But will China have to come back and buy U.S. pork anytime soon? Well, not soon, but maybe in the second half of the year. But you look at crude oil, you look at copper, gold and silver, these markets are all anticipating improving and strengthening global economic activity. And I wonder if that's what we should be thinking about as well. So those are all interesting things, and they're all bullish toward meat demand.
It almost feels like they're kind of acting, maybe some of those outside markets, as a little bit of a hedge against inflation, but a little bit of optimism to your point as well, that maybe things can improve here globally as we go through the year, Dennis.
You bet. So that would be very positive, especially if, you know, the dreaded recession in the U.S., which never came mm-hmm. to pass. If we can honestly feel like we've avoided that completely, that would be a positive.
Yeah, definitely would. Well, we appreciate the time joining us here on AOA. I know folks can learn more at archerfinancials.com. With that, Dennis Smith, Archer Financial Services. Always a pleasure to talk with you, sir, here. Thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll get you back on the show again soon.
Thank you, Jesse. It's nice to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Dennis Smith there with Archer Financial Services. Great to have him join us here on AOA. Give us some perspective in these markets. I know, too, on the livestock side, it was an interesting note that I saw early on the day on Wednesday that the state of Nebraska has issued a restriction on the importation of dairy cattle for a period of 30 days due to the HPAI outbreak. And then in 30 days, that restriction will be reevaluated. Will that cause a ripple effect here across other states? That remains to be seen. We're going to be watching these livestock markets very closely moving forward. And speaking of the HPAI outbreak, coming up next here before we run out of time on AOA, we're going to get an update from Texas with Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller. We'll be back with him here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Extreme cold temps put your vehicles to the test. Cenex Premium Lubricants can make sure you keep going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Back after this.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Joining us now for an update on the HPAI spread across Texas, Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller is with us. Commissioner Miller, thanks for the time. Let's just start. Give us an update on where things stand with the spread of HPAI in your state.
Okay. Well, we had a mysterious illness going through our dairy herds in the panhandle of Texas and West Texas. It took us a little over 3 weeks to figure out what it was. We tested for every known cattle disease we could think of, and then we noticed that there were some dead birds on the dairy farm. So somebody said, well, maybe we should test for bird flu. Well, cattle don't get bird flu. They've never gotten bird flu, but we tested for it anyway. And sure enough, we had a positive reaction. We had a couple of dairies positive in Texas and a couple in Kansas. Now we've got a dairy in New Mexico, seven in Texas, Kansas, Idaho. So it's very mild on the cattle. They get over it in about 7 to 10 days. All the milk was destroyed. None of it got in the food chain, but it wouldn't matter if it had. We pasteurized milk for the most part, and that kills all the pathogens. No danger to the public. Not enough milk destroyed to disrupt the supply of milk, so no spike in milk dairy prices. We did have a dairy hand come down with the bird flu. Again, very mild case. He had like pink eye. That was about the only symptom. He got over it pretty quick. We have discovered that in humans once before. In 2022, we had a person in Colorado that actually came down with bird flu, but those are the only two cases in the United States. On another note, just a few minutes ago, I announced that Calmaine Farms, egg-producing farm in Farwell, Texas, has an outbreak of bird flu in their chicken flock out there. So we're going to need to depopulate that flock. It'll be 1.6 million birds and over 350,000 pullets. So, and all the eggs that have been produced in the last week. So several million eggs will have to be destroyed too. So, looks like we've got bird flu in the poultry flocks, the dairy herds, and one human.
All right. Well, we appreciate the update. And Commissioner Miller, I know at this point, stop of the spread, biosecurity is paramount, isn't it?
It is. We may have to start limiting livestock, or at least dairy. We haven't found it in any beef cattle, and the only dairy cattle are the lactating older cows, which is kind of unusual. We don't know exactly what the explanation is of that. The good news, the dairy cattle versus the poultry, we have to destroy all the poultry. But the dairy cattle get over it, so we're not going to have to put down any dairy cattle to destroy them. It's kind of like they had the flu for a week, basically, if you want, want a very simple description of it.
All right. Well, we'll continue to watch HPAI in your state and around the country. Let's talk about the Texas Wildfires, Commissioner. Any updates for us on the recovery efforts from those wildfires?
Oh, sure. And it's right out there where the bird flu is. By the way, that bird flu, we're pretty positive, is spread by waterfowl. And of course, we're in migration season where they're headed back to their northern nesting grounds. The fires are out. We burned almost 1,300,000 acres, largest fire we've ever had in the state. We lost over 7,000 head of cattle. We'll probably put down or have to sell for salvage another 15,000 to 20,000 head, simply because the hooves are burnt beyond healing. Their udders are gone. Real sad. And then probably even for the next 6 months, we'll have to sell cattle that have lung damage from smoke inhalation. That won't be thrifting, won't be able to, continue to raise calves. So we had over 500 houses and barns destroyed in that fire. We had to evacuate 16 schools. Two of them suffered some damage. We had over 120 miles of electric lines on the ground, so a lot of those communities were without power. A lot of those farms not only had no grass, but then they had no water because they depend on well water. That's all back up and running. I don't know how many thousands of miles of fence, probably 3,000 to 5,000 miles of fence that's got to be replaced. And cost on that these days is about $15,000 a mile. So it's pretty devastating. As far as my department, I set up a hay hotline, so we've been coordinating hay deliveries, finding truckers, finding money to pay for fuel. There's 4 delivery points in the panhandle. Then we had delivery points all over the state of Texas and other states. We had states like Alabama all the way, you know, across the United States have sent us 17 trailer truck loads of hay. I mean, that's how good people are reaching out. And we've got them from South Carolina, just you name it, Minnesota. People are really good. I set up my STAR Fund, which is State of Texas Agriculture Relief. And that's private money I raise. It's not taxpayer dollars. And we've raised almost $900,000 in that fund. And I'll use that to help those farmers and ranchers replace stuff that insurance or USDA doesn't cover. It'll mostly be keep post and wire, building materials, replace barns. We're going to try to make some of those volunteer fire departments, you know, help them get back whole. They've had a lot of expenses. So we'll do that. That's ongoing. If anybody wants to contribute to that, they can go to my website, TexasAgriculture.gov. TexasAgriculture.gov. STAR Fund is the name of it. And thirdly, I set up a mental health hotline, mental health / suicide hotline, specifically for our agriculture folks. It's manned by people that understand agriculture. They have to take 300 hours training. So when you call in, not only will they refer you to a local place where you can get some mental health help, but they'll also inform you of programs at the USDA, the TDA, the SBA, you know, the Farm Bureau, the Southwestern Cattle Raisers, you know, all these programs out there that can help you get back on your feet. So we think that's very important. It's been very successful and very well received.
Well, again, learn more, texasagriculture.gov. And with that, we appreciate the time. We know things are busy. Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, thank you for joining us, sir. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you, and God bless.
And once again, learn more online, texasagriculture.gov. We appreciate Commissioner Miller's time today. We are out of time on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants. Learn more online at cenex.com. Tomorrow on AOA, we'll talk with Leah Wilkinson from the American Feed Industry Association, markets with Brian Split from agmarket.net, and much more. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research, funded by the V Foundation, is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Give to the V Foundation. Right now, 1 out of every 2 men and 1 out of every 3 women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing research. 100%. Donate at V.org. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.